Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
I think I will. I'm going to use this. I know I was told to normally do this, and it's not because I'm fancy. It's because I'm short. And so I just maybe will need to flag you down because I'm down here and not up there. But hi, I'm Bryson. If we never met, I spend most of my time on the other side of the building hanging out with maybe your kids and maybe somebody else's kids, but I hang out with our students, our middle schoolers and our high schoolers. It's amazing. Is this S situation going to, I can go to this one if the S, my S's stop sounding like S's. S, hello. Jesus is the Lord. Anyway, so I hang out with our students a lot. I love my job. I love getting to be with the next generation because I believe that the future world changers are sitting in our high school classes right now. I'm just going to go ahead and switch a little bit so you know I don't have a lisp.
S. Yes, that is amazing. But anyway, like I said, my name is Bryson. It's really good to meet you guys. It's really good to be here. On this side of the building, we have Pastor Corey's over there taking care of our students. A little bit about me, if we haven't met, I want to hop right into the word. But I did 10 years of Norwegian folk dancing as a kid. That's really important for you to know. I did 5 years of wrestling. In which I had an amazing long shaggy hairdo and was super intimidating with that one. I also played Peter Pan in high school, a production of Peter Pan. So now we know each other a little bit. Most important thing that you should know about me, though, is I love Jesus. I love the Bible. I love my church, and I love my wife. That order, I love Jesus more than my wife. It would go like Jesus, wife, church. You can do the rest. We can talk about it later. But tonight, we're starting kind of this series last week at church on Sunday called The Human Right, talking about Pastor Rice's new book. Boom, the new book. And so Pastor James kind of started us off with how the truth is a person. And we're going to kind of take that one step further tonight on this idea of Jesus as the truth. I'm going to pray. We're going to read the Bible together. We're going to talk about what it might look like for us in our lives. So let's pray. Jesus, we invite you here. God, we thank you that you want to say something tonight. And we pray that you do just that, Lord. Would we not leave without being changed? Jesus, right now, as we've already sung, we give you all of us. God, we put ourselves on the altar. Jesus, we say, have your way. God, would you be in this moment and speak to us? In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible tonight, you can go to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to be in verses 13 through 18. It'll also be on the screen, if you don't have your Bible, give you like 10 seconds to do that. It's like 3/4 through the Bible, first book of the New Testament, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, which means rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. We did this series just a month or two ago in Rush, our youth ministry. It was called Unbelievable, where we took some of these, the biggest barriers people had to faith, and we kind of debunked them. We talked about science. We talked about hell. We talked about hypocrisy. And the more we talked to students, the more we talked to students' friends, and we were on campus, it seems like there's a lot of people who have a problem with God. If you have a problem with the whole Christianity thing, you have a problem maybe with God. Maybe there was some sort of poor experience you had at church, or maybe there was a situation you were in that you felt like God should have intervened. And this God is he's the big bad man in the sky to a lot of people. But what we found is not a lot of people have a problem with Jesus. For some reason, we can separate it where I'm mad at God, but you know, me and Jesus are cool. You know, it's like, man, God's like the angry parent that just wants to ground you. And Jesus is like the cool older brother that's like, hey, man, we're cool. You know? And so somehow we can separate these. And I think what I was kind of coming to understand in speaking with students is the reason that we maybe can have a little bit easier time relating with Jesus is because we can actually project things onto Jesus that aren't actually true. Jesus asked his disciples in this situation, he said, who do they say I am? And they started spouting off a couple ideas. They said, some people say John the Baptist, some people say Jeremiah or another prophet. And I wonder what would be some answers if we asked maybe Brentwood or we asked Nashville what that might be. It's easy, let me tell you kind of what I'm thinking. It's easy to project a Jesus that's convenient for us. It's easy to think about a Jesus that agrees with what we think and what we believe. It's easy to project a Jesus that condones everything we do. You might actually find yourself believing in a couple of these Jesuses. Let's think about a few of them. Maybe you follow hipster Jesus. And so in your day, you know, yes, you're a Christian, but you're also cool. You sip your lattes and have nerd glasses. Or maybe you're a little more edgy and you follow activist Jesus. It's all about social justice and Jesus wants to come. He's going to change the world. He's going to turn the tables, all of that. Or maybe you think that Jesus is too mean, so you serve pacifist Jesus. So he's not the mean Jesus. He's the one that's, hey, we're cool, guys. Let's just all chill out. Maybe you serve Second Amendment Jesus and you just say, like, Jesus is pro-America, and America means pro, you know, whatever. Maybe you serve prosperous Jesus. Jesus wants you to be rich. And that's the Jesus that you might subscribe to. But it can go on. Maybe you serve Republican Jesus or Democrat Jesus or rich Jesus or poor Jesus, the Jesus who loves rules and religion, the Jesus that loves to party, the Jesus that's cool with me sleeping with my girlfriend, the Jesus that hates people that sleep with their girlfriends. Yeah. We can all decide what Jesus we follow, but the question is, are we following the real Jesus? It's a lot easier to make God into our image than realize that we were made in his. Have you ever been in maybe a circus? I'm going to be distracted as long as you keep that up. So maybe we'll say bye to Baller Jesus. See you later on that, and we'll go. Just, there we go, human right, hallelujah. But have you ever been to maybe a fair or a carnival where they're doing caricatures? You know, where you sit down and they you know, you have a guy who's an artist and they can kind of do something that looks similar to that. We have a guy in our church who's a really talented artist. And so I reached out to him when I knew that I was going to be preaching down here and asked him to do a caricature of me. And so you can check out how it turned out. Looks like this. So take that as you will. Yep. And so the truth is, if you had me in a line of five guys and you had this picture, you could probably tell who it was. I mean, it's not like a spitting image. Obviously, the body is. But other than that, you know, not exactly right. But you could probably make out that it was me. But you can decide as an artist what you emphasize and what you unemphasize. As you're drawing this picture, you can say, well, you know, he's, we'll just say, pretty muscular. And so I'm going to make him super muscular. He has, you know, a beard. I'm going to give it this certain type. He has sort of a big nose. I'm going to make it look like that. And so, but we have this decision in the same way we decide the Jesus that we follow. We all have this character. It doesn't matter if you've been in church since you were a baby or if you are new to this whole thing called faith. We all have this projection of Jesus that has varying levels of truth involved in it. The question is, if truth is a person, then how do we get to know this person? And Jesus starts to unpack this. If you are writing, and if, I hate when people say, if there are, is a like a title to this message. There is a title to this message. And it's, the truth isn't a portrait, it's a person. So we see, the way we see Jesus matters. You know, our being is a byproduct of our seeing. The way we see Jesus is going to determine the way we live our lives. And so as we move on, we see that Peter has said, he's made the claim. Jesus asked, who do you say I am? And they kind of threw out some answers. And it says that the disciples answered. So it's not Jesus just saying, well, maybe you're this. Or it's not, sorry, it's not Peter saying, maybe you're this, maybe you're this, maybe you're this. The disciples are answering, and Peter chimes in. And we know kind of just throughout reading the rest of the Bible that Peter's, he's a little bit of a goody two-shoes. You know, he's a little bit, he likes, you know, to be, have the right answer. He likes to kind of lead the crew. And so he says this thing in the midst of this discussion, he chimes in with a showstopper of a line. He says, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. You're not Jeremiah. You're not Elijah. You're not John the Baptist. You're the Messiah. And I want to know in that moment, because everything had to go in slow motion. There's no way that in that moment, things didn't just stop. The disciples are thinking, oh man, Peter, gosh, you just had to say. And Peter's saying, oh man, I hope I'm right. You know, he just said this defining thing, but I can't help but think that Jesus said, yes. He said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven did. And so he confirms it, but it's important for us to see, just a little rewind. It said that they're in Caesarea Philippi, and this is significant to realize what Jesus was saying. So Caesarea Philippi was originally named after and created around the god, Pan. Created around the god Pan. And so they had shrines for Pan. They later named it to start worshiping Caesar. And as they kept on going as a city, yep, that's perfect, they found more and more gods to celebrate and gods to worship in this place. So this is called the Mount of the Gods. And so they created shrine after shrine, temple after temple, and it became a place where you came to worship the god that was most convenient to you. And so it's significant to see that this is where Jesus came to have this moment with the disciples and really reveal, really throw it out there. You can leave that picture up if that's okay, just so we can kind of set the portrait of where they're at. It's to really reveal. And in this moment, now, I can't tell you, you know, they're sitting here overlooking this, but we know they're in the same city, in the same region. It's in this moment, in this place, that Jesus chooses to say, yes, blessed are you, Simon. Blessed are you because you've been entrusted with, you've been, it's been revealed to you that I am the I am, that all these people, and he doesn't, just imagine him speaking with this in the background. He's saying that these are the pretenders and I'm the contender, that these people are the wannabes and I am the I am, that I'm not just a God, but I am God. In that moment, man, Jesus isn't just saying, by the way, guys, I got to go real quick, but I'm God? Messiah? Yeah, me. No, he's saying, look at my competitors. They're over there and I'm right here. They can live in the sky or wherever, or they can live in their idols, but I'm right here and I'm the Messiah. What is interesting, though, is when he said that he's the Messiah, it's not just like, oh, he's God, but he's speaking to a Jewish people, right? And so these disciples who grew up Jewish, they knew that they were waiting for a certain character. They were waiting for the Messiah who was going to come and save them from Roman oppression. He was going to come and he was going to make everything that was wrong right again. And he was going to take the throne in Jerusalem. And so when he actually comes out and says, I'm the Messiah, it puts them all in a very interesting predicament. Because it means that they need to reconcile the real Jesus with the Jesus that they had expected. The real Jesus with the Jesus that they wanted him to be. Aren't you so glad that our broken way of thinking and our broken view of Jesus isn't the means of our salvation? Man, and when I think through my life as a Christian and think about the different times that Jesus had you know, meant a different thing to me, and I realized maybe some wrong ways of thinking or wrong patterns, I go, man, Jesus, I'm so glad you're not how I thought you were. Or Jesus, I'm so glad you didn't answer that prayer. I'm so glad that the thing I thought I wanted, I'm realizing would now shatter my life. Jesus, I'm so glad you're not what I expected and even sometimes not what I wanted you to be. But Jesus is making a statement. And so it's easy for us now, kind of being presented with this truth, to say, okay, well, if Jesus isn't who I think he is, then how do I figure out who this Jesus is? I mean, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to go, hoorah, that was awesome. I don't know what Jesus is or who he is, but see you guys next week. No, but he reveals it. Jesus is clear. He's not like that. He says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this. He wasn't revealed on a Wednesday night by a guy on a microphone. He wasn't revealed when someone was doing a God test on campus. He wasn't revealed in a conversation. But it was my heavenly Father, my Father who's in heaven, that revealed him to you. It's only by the revelation of Jesus that we can be introduced to the real Jesus. The real Jesus only comes by revelation. And it's in those conversations, man, and it takes, what that does, a side note, as Christians, we talk about wanting to be fruitful, wanting to do evangelism. It takes the pressure off of us. It doesn't matter if I'm clear or eloquent in my presentation. It doesn't matter if, even if I have the faith to do it, it just matters that I do it, because Jesus promises that it's his Father. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal the Father through himself. And so here's where we come into the story. Because Jesus has confirmed Peter's lucky guess, we'll call it. He's confirmed, I am the Messiah. But he goes on, not just saying, yeah, you're right, but he says, Simon, you're getting a new name, man. I'm changing your Instagram handle. He says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not, sorry, I'm a youth pastor. That came through a little bit there. If you have Instagram, see you there. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Bringing us back to this scene, right here on the far left, you see this hole that's connected to this temple. And what they actually believe, this hole right there, the massive cave where water flew in and out, this hole was referred to as the gates of Hades. And so they believe that this is where the gods would go to and from the underworld to earth and from it. And so it's in this same scene where Jesus doesn't just say, hey, I'm God, in the face of all these losers. He's saying, not only am I the real deal, but the rock that I'm beginning right now will not be overcome by that rock. And there's been different interpretations, you know, throughout church history of this scripture. You know, our Catholic brothers and sisters think that this is talking about Peter as a saint, or as the person that's going to be built upon. Other people have said that it's going to be built upon, you know, the revelation of Jesus. And I do agree Peter was important in this. I do agree it's built on the revelation of Jesus. But I believe that in that moment that Jesus is saying that here's a rock that's saying one thing, but I'm raising up a new rock. That built upon the revelation that I am the Messiah, I'm building a rock not made out of stone, but built on people who are ready to confess the name of Jesus, not just as a good person, not just as a prophet, not just as a teacher, not as a moral man, but as the Messiah, the deliverer of humanity. And he's saying, I'm raising up a new standard. I'm raising up a rock that will never, ever, 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 ever be overcome by the rock that we're standing behind. All of those people can worship their fake gods, their fake idols, and hang out at a fake gate to hell. But right here, we're going to start something real. We're going to start something powerful. If he's the Messiah for them, what does that mean for us? Jesus, he's not only, he is the promised Messiah that we see coming back or coming for the redemption of the Jewish people, the Israelites. But so much more than that, he's the Messiah for the people in this room right now. Because we were born with a problem. We were born as what we call sinners. If this is, you know, your first introduction to a time at church, what we call sin is the thing that we do that God doesn't. We're messed up. He's perfect. And so it makes us ineligible for the presence of God because of our sin. And so when Jesus came as the Messiah, as the deliverer, as the redeemer, the one that would make wrong things right, he came and actually lived the sinless life, making him eligible to be in relationship with God. And on the cross, paying the price for what we deserve, he passed his eligibility onto us, extended it to us so that we can say, Jesus, because of what you did, I can now have this relationship with the Father who's revealed you as the Messiah to me. So when we say Messiah, it's not just a churchy word. It's saying that you're the bridge to the gap. It's saying that you're making the way to the Father, that it's you and only you, Jesus, that can make this thing happen. And so as we close, I just want to ask a couple questions. The first was asked by Jesus. Coming back to this original question he asked his disciples, because it's the most important question that all of us will ever have to answer. He says, who do you say that I am? He doesn't say, who does your school think I am? He doesn't say, who does your coworker think I am? Who does your parent say I am? Who does your spouse say I am? Who do you say I am? Because when that day comes and we're standing before Jesus, we're not going to get a mulligan. We're not going to get a way, but Jesus, no, he's asking right now, who do you say that I am? Yeah. Let's close our eyes and pray together. Jesus, right now, we come to you, and I hope that my brothers and sisters in this room are coming the same way I am, saying that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus, you are the way to the Father. It's only by you, through you, that this can work. And so we come to you with our wrong ways of thinking. God, we come to you with the projections that we've brought. Lord, the characters that we've made of you. God, we come and we bring everything that we've created and we say, have it, take it. Jesus, we don't want it. God, we want the truth and nothing but the truth, because it's the truth, the person that will set us free. We thank you that you are the reality that we're trying to conform to. So, Lord, help us be more like you and not try and make you more like us. Jesus, right now we lay ourselves down, we lay our thoughts down and our mindsets down, and we just ask that you would come, clean us up, Jesus, and set us in place on the rock of your church, the rock that you're building, not made out of stone, but made out of people. We thank you that you didn't give up on us. You didn't forget about us. You didn't leave us behind. You could have, but you didn't. And so it's for that we thank you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.